welcome, everybody, to episode 312 of RP Grinders. I'm your host, Frank Branches, alongside my trusty cohorts, Eric the Great, Breakman the Bold, the Stealthy One himself, and the Mug. What's up, gentlemen? Have we resorted to fart sounds on air?
I mean, that was a raspberry, not a fart sound. Thank you.
And raspberry.
What's up?
And the Mug? Like, you just kind of like offhanded. Like,
is I don't have a name for Mug yet. I gotta think of something.
I'm just saying, like, you're just...
Good thing Breakman's breaking up. You should rename yourself.
I'm having trouble with Skype. Sorry.
Oh, there you go.
We can call him G-chan because he's old.
We can call him P-chan.
Yeah, P-chan from Rama.
There you go.
Buki, yes.
Hey, Stealth, how was your week, man?
It was decent.
Decent? Any special insider information we should have on stocks or anything?
Nope, I was on vacation this week.
Ah, there you go. All right.
I literally almost did not leave my house.
That sounds like heaven.
Yeah, it does. Actually,
I reclused. I did.
He had a staycation.
I love the staycation, yes.
Yeah, yes, why not?
I would love to do that. Instead
well, when you're in New York, you know, you just go outside and get something to eat. That's its own vacation.
Right, every two
and
steps.
And I'm completely avoiding Comic-Con.
Why? That'd be interesting to go to, except for the
stinky
hippies.
No, it's so crowded.
Yeah, too crowded. Yeah.
New York Comic-Cons, yeah.
Yeah. Well, all the Comic-Cons are crowded, but I've always wanted to go and be like a panelist at one of these cons, you know.
I've always wanted to go to a Comic-Con or something like that, but I've always heard the body odor is really, really bad at places.
Yeah, for sure.
The nature of any, you know, anything.
I went to OhioCon. It wasn't nearly as stinky.
Like I went to a local one that I didn't have any problem with body odor or anything. Yeah. Everybody there seemed pretty clean. But.
Well, it doesn't even
have to be that people aren't clean. Yeah. It's just that you have a, you know, basically a press of bodies in a confined space, and it builds up.
Right. Right. Well, maybe you guys can go to WickedCon, man. WickedCon's going to be sometime in March in Los Angeles.
I'm not going to California.
Why not?
It's expensive.
So what?
That's even more expensive than New Orleans, which is something I was also out of my price range.
Oh, boy. If you save the money, you guys can go. Fucking A, man. Jesus Christ. I'm the only RP grinder that's going to WickedCon? Really? Son of a bitches. All right.
Well, if you do it at my house next year, we could prime.
Yeah, I don't think Ohio's going to be the list on where people want to go for WickedCon 2016 break.
You can go to Cedar Point and do it during the summer.
Yeah, that's not happening.
Well, if you do it the summer here, I mean, we got Kings Island. We just go there.
Gosh. Maybe I'll throw the idea around so you
two fools
can go. Jeez. All right. I got some housekeeping to talk about before we start the show.
King's Island Hotel will run out of room.
Next week, instead of being a traditional show, there will be – on Tuesday we're going to be interviewing Bill at Z-Boyd Games. That of Cthulhu Saves the World and Breath of Death 7 and the
Penny Arcade Adventures.
Penny Arcade, yeah, Precipice.
On the Rain Slick Precipice of Darkness.
Yeah,
they do have a couple XNA games on XBLIG.
Oh, they've got all kinds of Kickstarters.
Those are really early stuff, though.
Right, they got all kinds of Kickstarters going on and stuff like that. So you guys are going to...
They've only done one. No, two.
Look at their webpage. Look at their webpage, Breakman or Eric.
Yeah, two Kickstarters. One is already and one for the.
No, they've got more than that, dude. Just look at their page. Trust me. Grippers
so,
in chat.
So what? We're now like your pets. You can't keep us apart.
Frank, those are Kickstarters for other projects that they aren't involved in. They basically it's like a shout out type of thing.
All right. Well, nonetheless, we're gonna have Bill at Z-Boyd Games. Eric and I for sure are gonna be there. Maybe the other guys can make it or not. I'm not sure about that. But we'll be talking about their upcoming projects and all kinds of stuff with Bill at Z-Boyd Games. So we're excited for that. That's going to be the entirety of the show next week. But I'm gonna post it on Tuesday. There will be no live show next. Thursday or next Friday. God, I got so many dates in my mind. Because reasons. All right. I've been with WIFIX 15 years. We're going to be celebrating our anniversary that weekend. So I don't want to preclude anything next week. I think she deserves it after putting up with me for 15 years. So next
week, lots of
ain't that the damn truth?
Lots of hot, sweaty sex, right?
Hopefully.
What am I gonna do next week?
You can go on the air.
Obviously,
you can do a show. You guys can do a show if you want. Shit, if you want to do
Breakman star show starring Breakman, and you could talk in a Brack voice.
I don't know about that.
I don't think I could do a Brack voice.
Yeah. So it's going to be an interesting next week. We're just going to have the interview, and it's going to be up on Tuesday at some point. In the evening, and that's about it. But we'll return the following week with a proper episode and all the usual fun hijinks, etc. All right, guys, let's get into the news. Let's get this shit done and over with as quick as possible. If you're joining us in the Ustream chat, I can't see that chat, so keep that window open because that's where the audio is. But on wickedradionetwork.com is where you can find the regular chat. So I'm sorry I can't see that chat. I don't understand why I can't see it, but I just can't interact with you guys there. All right, Eric, let's start with the news.
The news is going to start with an article from Kimatsu. It's usually Silkliner. Woo! anyways, it's about Sword Online Lost Song announced for PS3 and PS Vita. I'm surprised that's not PS4, too.
Mm-hmm. But I'm surprised, too.
Says the next Sword Art Online game, first teased at Tokyo Game Show last month, is Sword Art Online Lost Song for PlayStation 3 and Vita. And its 2015 duo action RPG is set in the world of Alfheim Online and features a completely original story. Says just like the anime, players will be able to fly.
Cool.
So that's awesome. Kind of open worldy then.
That's all right. That's kind of cool.
So I've seen I'm looking at the screenshots, and I'm seeing characters from the anime, but this is saying this is a completely different story, and the last game had nothing to do with the anime, so I'm confused.
And the last game, like, basically took the ending of the first half of the series and then made a scenario where they were sick in the game and they had to fight their way out of it, like they were originally supposed to.
Okay. But,
and this game just probably has them in the real world and just has them playing this new game.
Yeah, unlike in the first game they're playing.
Where something happens where they're probably not stuck, but it's probably serious stuff. Like maybe players are still dying somehow.
Yeah.
Just like you know, the anime of Sword Art Online 2.
I guess we're going to have to wait to find out. So look forward to that. PS3 and Vita. I'm surprised it's not on the PS4 too, for sure. All right, Break, what do we got next?
Yay, me. Coming to us from live from Frank's favorite website, Kickstarter. CT Demon's Revenge, a comic book inspired RPG. Mm. A 16-bit RPG and a classic Capcom arcade game combined inspires from classics like Suikoden 2 and Final Fantasy 8. Mm-hmm. Neither one of those was 16-bit.
Right.
it reminds me of one of those games from the Sega Genesis days where you would rush home on a bright sunny day, race to your bedroom, and plop the game in, only to be transported to a game world where adventures and characters pull you deep in the Mephos until your parents yell for you to come down for dinner. A TV in your room. You fucking... God. Sorry.
I only have one question.
Yes.
Who among us here had a bread room?
A bread room? I've never had a bread room.
Did I say bread room?
You said bedroom.
The bedroom. It's the bedroom.
Bedroom.
That'd be an interesting room full of bread.
I saw the video. Mm. Saw the video of this.
Called Celestial Tea. Right.
So I saw the video.
That's a Chrono Trigger if I ever saw one.
We had some audio technical difficulties, but I did see the video, this Kickstarter video. Yeah, whatever. I saw it. It looks good. Did they use? They obviously used RPG Maker. At least it looked like it, but it looks okay. I mean, I'm interested in seeing what they can do with this. Again, Kickstarter, you know, whatever. I understand people like Kickstarter.
These guys are from New York too. We're Stealth from.
Yeah, right. Is Stealth? Are you back?
Well, Stealth to Armingdale. I don't know if Stealth lives there.
Stealth, did you can you hear me, Stealth?
Yeah. What?
Okay. Cool. What?
Yes, I can hear you.
I literally just got back.
Right. Yeah, right. We were just talking about this game. I saw the video for Demon's Revenge. It's it was
never
made,
heard of it.
Yeah, I never heard of it either. But it's a Kickstarter deal, and it's got about half of its goal with 23 days left.
I will never give money to a Kickstarter again. Not ever.
This has way better graphics and animations than I'm used to.
Yes, but would you buy the game once it gets on the store?
Yeah, I might. I might buy the game. If it gets to a portable console or the consoles, I'll buy it. If it's just PC, then
I
won't.
It's probably just PC for now.
Yeah, probably. But whatever. It looks all right. Looks
I mean,
okay.
RPG Maker games usually don't translate to other platforms.
Right. But whatever.
They do all have plans to go to PS3, PS4, Wii U,
that'd
and other mobile devices.
Yeah, that would be nice. Okay.
It does look like it at least has some original assets.
Right.
Like I said, I like the art that they have here. I don't know how well it's going to translate to gameplay, but the battle scenes actually look pretty good, too.
Right. Gripper, let us know if you can hear us out there. I know you're in
chat. This one dude looks like a vampire.
Yeah, probably is. Usually they have a nice little twist in these RPGs. All right, let's move on to a story from Silicon Era. Live from Silicon Era. See, I said it. Different break. Colorful co-op action RPG Izel is heading to PC next-gen consoles in 2015. Izel's low-poly co-op 3D action-adventure RPG. So what would that be?
Izel or is... I don't know. It's...
Co-RPG? I guess. I don't know.
Co-op RPG?
Whose phone is that? Jesus.
That was my phone.
Get it, Stealth. Jesus.
Hold on.
Bring it.
Who is it?
That'll be bringing its vibrant colors to PC and next-gen consoles. None specified yet in 2015. They've been working Parisian developer, so all you French people out there. Area Effect has been sharing work-in-progress screenshots of Izel recently, and it has... I like Izel. Like, look... Who is it? Snoop Dogg that always does the Izzle? I like that. Certainly
double Izzle.
Yeah.
I'm adding Izzles to Wizzles all Dizzle, so right. They don't have to Rizzle.
Right. Certainly proved eye-catching. The world of Izzle is a colorful place, which makes it all the more heartbreaking if you were to fail the game's mission and have to watch as it's consumed by darkness. That sucks. You see,
the worlds are always consumed by darkness.
Right.
Izzle if they're actually depicting it getting consumed, it could be effective. Kind of like if you got the bad ending in Chrono Trigger. Oh, damn.
Yeah, exactly.
It's like we're getting pelted by a bunch of needles that have the power of a Titan rod.
All right, to put you in the position...
No, seriously, the U.S. military is developing something that was going to replace nukes.
Oh, jeez.
Like tungsten rods?
Yeah.
Wow.
And basically, instead of one big gigantic explosion, we could have multiple ones.
Oh, yay. Great.
More controlled.
America.
More controlled, less no fallout.
Less collateral damage, hopefully. You see, Izzel puts you in the position of a warrior who must summon the power of the gods to protect the remaining fragmented isle floating in space upon which civilization must regrow after a long war with the shadows. What you need to do, then, is to call upon the gods of light to help transform the islands, terraform the island. You'll be able to create treacherous underground sky castles. So it sounds like a mixture of RPG elements with Minecraft to me. Sky castles, ivory towers, dungeons, elemental mysteries. Each time you do, the gods request that you complete a quest for them. Oh, thanks. For all my hard work, I have to go on a quest and do something terrible for you. Great. Completing these quests grants you one of the shards of light, which can be used either blah, 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 blah. There you go. It's in pre-alpha. Should be a trailer and the demo coming soon. So there you go.
Oh, this is a pre-alpha good because it looks like shit.
Well, it's going to look like that. That's kind of the art. That's what they're going for, man. I mean,
they're going for this art style. Like, really? It looks like a 1995 3D game.
That's what they're going for, man. That's exactly.
Hey, I actually kind of like that idea because no one's done it yet.
Yeah, I don't mind.
The Kickstarter game we just talked about looks a lot better than this.
Yeah.
I don't think there's a lot of nostalgia for 90s 3D though.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, it's ugly.
Yeah. Yeah, I think I agree.
Early 3D graphics
not
age.
Yeah.
I think because Minecraft was such a big hit, like a lot of people are just going with the basic looks now.
Well, they got
the thing about Minecraft is that its appeal is that, in its in how basic it is, you can create some amazingly intricate stuff out of it.
Well, also, maybe you need a beefy PC to play the game because it's resource intensive.
Oh boy, that sucks. All right, let's move on, Break.
Okay.
Come on. I'm waiting for it.
I wasn't expecting to read the next story. I thought we were still on this story.
Come on.
Coming to us live from Silicon Era.
Castlevania. Hold on. Yo. Wait. That is not the usual enthusiasm I hear out of you, sir. I want the proper introduction to this article. Come on.
Coming to us undead from Silicon Era. That's Halloween. We gotta go with that. Castlevania, Aria of Sorrow, coming to Wii U Virtual Console in North America.
Marca.
With its horrible localization.
Yeah, yes. This is the one we were actually talking about last week.
But Aria of Sorrow's localization's horrible.
Oh yeah, like it's specifically, particularly and especially in the monster names.
I only know like of a few typos, but I don't know if it's.
Well, no, like a lot of the monster names are like completely messed up. Yeah. Like they, you know, like you have those enemies as like the multi-armed women wielding swords. They're supposed to be Kali, and they're named Curly.
Curly.
Yeah. There's a lot of that stuff in that game. There's actually a hack that someone did that
Konami. All of that. Konami, I think, hired Capcom's translation team during that era. Battle Network.
We're going to be talking about Capcom a little bit later, and a lot of douchery in a lot of these publishers, and so anyways,
Castlevania: Aria of Sorrow coming to the Wii U Virtual Console on October 16th with Army of Dissonance.
Oh, that's cool.
Right now, Circle of Moon is available for $7.99. There's no price announced for this game yet.
And what would you guys feel about me streaming a bunch of Castlevania games during the Extra Life marathon?
That would be awesome. That would be great. Yeah,
depends on which games.
Depends on which games.
You get to pick.
Oh,
just
shit.
Just make a list and I'll play them.
Nothing Lords of Shadow.
N64 Castlevania all the way.
No, it has to be like emulator because I don't have access to a Castlevania Legacy of Darkness.
Well,
you can emulate the N64.
Not well.
Yeah, not very good. Okay.
Yeah, you can.
I was going to say, they haven't improved over the years?
They've improved quite a lot.
I'm just saying, even with the improvements they made, they haven't really touched the emulation scene in X64 for a long time.
Yeah.
And then I don't think anybody's going to ever go revisit it.
Right. Okay. Let's move on to the next story live from Silicon Era. Dragon Quest II will be available on smartphones this week. I can confirm myself that Dragon Quest II is available on the iPhone right now, iOS. So
is it $3 like the first game?
It is $4.99. I checked earlier.
Yeah, it's $4.99.
Slightly
more. Coming hot on the heels of last month's iOS and Android release.
It's a much better game. I expected.
It is. It's better than what people remember. It's pretty decent. So yeah, there you go. It's available now. Get it while it's hot. I don't think there's much more to say about Dragon Quest. It's a Dragon Quest game. All right, Eric, next story.
Next story is also from Silicon Era. And it says, Hyper Devotion Noir, Goddess of Blackheart, announced for North America and Europe. Wildheart's noir spinoff of the Neptunia series is being released in North America and Europe. Titled Hyper Devotion Noir, as opposed to Hyper Dimension. Neptunia, but Goddess Blackheart. This strategy RPG will be released to the West in early 2015.
Ooh, there you go, Break. That another reason to get PS3, man.
You can definitely tell that Japan has never embraced the maximum brevity as the soul of wit.
Yeah. Goddess Blackheart, man. I don't know, man. Hyper Devotion Noir. What do we think about this title, guys? Hyper Devotion Noir.
I
got something to sum it up really, really easily.
Yeah.
That sums up my thoughts on a lot of these games. Pretty much any strategy RPG. But
I agree. I love strategy RPGs.
I do too. I was just talking about the title.
Some people really love strategy RPGs, and some people don't, man. I do.
It's kind of a love or hate thing.
Yeah, me too. You might like
Tears of TR2. Because it's has a feature where if you fuck up, you can rewind the last turn. You can do that indefinitely.
Hmm.
So it's basically like save states built into the game.
Yep.
Yep.
All right. Next story. Eric.
It also has three difficulty modes that you can switch on the fly.
Hmm. That's cool. All right, Eric, what do we got next?
We've got Square Enix article. Yay.
Oh, boy.
It's giving away free Chaos Rings for Vita, PS Mobile, because technically it's a PS Mobile game, but you can use a Vita to play those games.
Hmm.
But
interesting.
In Japan.
Yeah, yeah, in Japan. It's not
yeah,
coming here.
Yeah, they're not doing this. They're not doing this in the U.S. yet.
Yeah, fuck you, United States. We're not going to give you anything for free, you
well,
fuckers.
Well, it's
you'll
not
pay
like
for
we
anything.
Have Chaos Rings 2 on the PlayStation Mobile store in the West yet.
Right.
You got it on the mobile phone, though.
Yeah.
Like these games have been out for a long time in America, just not necessarily on PlayStation.
Anyways, it's a Vita owners will... In Japan, we'll get a free download between October 16th to October 21st.
Oh, you get a whole whopping 5 days to download that sucker. Be still my heart, Square Enix. You fucking.
They might extend this assholes. Offer to at least Chaos Rings on the PlayStation Mobile Store
yeah.
in the U.S.
And of
for
course,
the first game, because we don't have the two other games yet. But but we could get the Chaos Rings 3 prequel trilogy
yeah.
in the U.S., which in then case makes these versions moot because it's actually made for the Vita.
Mm. Mm. Well, I don't have high hopes for that being free here, but if it was free, that'd be really cool here. All right, let's move on. Earlier we were talking about Castlevania games. This one, this story comes to us from Silicon Era. Symphony of the Night inspired Hazewalker wants to quote wow Wii U players.
This is more of like a
what does
feature. So let's just keep this short.
Okay, it's no secret that we're partial to dark fantasy worlds with plenty of hack and slash action. So it should come as no surprise that when David Pierce got into contact to tell us about his game Hazewalker, which fits into that previous description, we just had to fling some questions at him. The game's title refers to the ability of Hazewalker's main character. He's able to resist the effects of an ancient curse known as the Haze. His people have been trapped inside the Veil, so it's up to him to head deep into the Haze in order to reach safety for himself and his fellow survivors.
Is that curse known as the Haze have anything to do with that terrible first-person shooter game?
Haze? I don't know. I don't think so.
You never played the Haze demo on PS3?
Nah.
I don't think there'll be anything hurt out of that property again ever. No, I mean it didn't do well.
The biggest inspiration for Hazewalker is Symphony of the Night. If you look at the screenshot, which is here, Break, I think you're going to put that in the chat. Probably quite obvious. It's a side-scrolling action game that oddly mixes 3D characters with 2D backgrounds. So of course, we asked Price about the unusual choice of art direction, and I'm not going to get into all that. Did I miss anything, Eric? Should I mention anything else?
Nothing. But it says you can use a variety of different play styles based on like magical weapons and stuff like that.
How dare you change your name to that, Break? Should kick
what?
You out of
me?
That.
What are you talking about?
Should kick you out.
And it says like features that the Wii U version will have would be like the second screen as a guidebook while you play through the game.
Oh, that's cool. I've always wondered why they didn't do that.
That's
a really cool
build
idea.
Into a guidebook to your game, so if you're stuck, you could just reference it.
Yeah, that's a really cool idea. I think more games should do that. That I mean, especially for people like me that can't figure shit out half the time.
And then there's always the ever-present map on the.
Yeah,
I'm not gamepad.
That's cool.
It's not just you. It's because a lot of games they just use like you to progress. You have to notice one small detail on the
yeah.
screen or something stupid.
It harkens
they,
back.
They do that in so many games.
Yeah. Just imagine we're like Star Tropics on Nintendo, where you had to dip the thing in the water, something like that.
Right. Mm. I just think this is a good idea in general. I think, I mean, with the price of guides nowadays, I was a big guide. Collector, like I used to like buying.
I had so many guides.
Yeah,
I still have a bunch.
I like guides.
I usually if I buy them nowadays, it's usually just as the double as an art book of sorts.
Well, I haven't bought one in like two generations.
Usually throw in a bunch of artwork into those.
I haven't bought a strategy.
God of War ones were like that.
I haven't bought a strategy guide in a long time because a lot of them are not including posters, which I'm a huge poster collector. And B, they're just too pricey. Like, insanely priced, like 25, 30, 35. I've seen strategy guides for $40. I'm like, fuck
you. If you want to buy a shitty strategy guide, buy anything from Brady Games or Primo.
Yeah. Well, I have a few of those too. But
Piggyback is like a good publisher though.
Yeah. I've seen some good Brady Games one.
I'm not saying there aren't good ones. It's just that in general.
Well,
like,
I remember that
usually with Brady Games, they'll leave out information for like post game content, or they'll just have information about other parts of the game out entirely.
Yeah, well, I remember like the Prima strategy guide for Ninja Gaiden on the Xbox. They left out, you know, it was like, okay, collect all 50 scarabs. There were like 47 in the book.
Also, the Prima guide for Grandia is just sad. It's number one, it's completely a step by step walkthrough. So there are no maps whatsoever, and important. Did we get cut off?
No, go ahead.
Oh, it just got really quiet. But
we were listening.
Anyways, the worst part of it all though is not only did they do that, but at the end of the strategy guide, they left it unfinished and they had the wrong photos being used.
Hmm. Interesting. Mm. I don't know. Strategy guides to me go way back.
Guides for Breath of Fire 3 and 4 weren't much better, though.
Hmm. I dig strategy guides for the most part. I haven't run into major... every once in a while, I'll run into a strategy guide where I'm going through a game, and it says, this is here, and it's not, and it kind of makes me mad. But other than that, I don't have very many issues with strategy guides in general. I like this idea. I think they should put it in more games. At least have that option, you know, or like a DLC pack. Like for $5, you could get the strategy guide. That would.
I remember the strategy guide that GameFan did for Resident Evil 4, or 2, not 4, and it was weird because, like, you know how the game is a 2-disc, and you play as Leon A and Claire B, and Claire A and Leon B. They basically printed the two halves of the guide on opposite ends of the strategy guide, and you had to flip and over and read it from right to left on one side, or left to right if you were playing the other version.
All right, what else we got? Let's end the news here, Eric.
The last article is Atelier Aisha Plus arrives in Europe in January 2015. No mention on a U.S. date, because Koei Tecmo was weird lately. They did this with Arno shirts, and people had to ask the U.S. branch, and then they said they were considering it, and then like a day later they confirmed it.
Yeah, so that's big news, Gripper. I mean, pounce on this, man.
It's almost as if Koei Tecmo U.S. doesn't do anything unless Europe's doing it.
Yeah,
and then they have to contact them about it.
Right. Includes dual audio.
And they're not actually doing localization anymore.
This includes dual audio? That's probably a plus, too. So that's
good. Because the dub in the game is kind of mixed. It's like, there are some characters that are better than others. But it's like kind of middling.
Yeah. All right, so there you go. It has a feature to change characters anywhere, which is an underutilized.
Which was good because you could only take the characters that you find in town out to do something, and you couldn't switch afterwards.
Yeah, which is really annoying. I like this idea. So that's really cool. I wish games would do that too. How cool!
I think it has a couple more features that make it play a little more like Eshka and Logi.
Album missions with. I don't know what that means. And, of course, more costumes, which I could care less about, unless they give you pluses to your stats.
Did I say Logi? I mean Logi. That's his name.
Yeah. All right, that's the news for today. Thankfully, not that long. Homie discounts. Eric, you found a homie discount.
Yeah. You can go to Best Buy and get Tales of Zillia 2 for $40.
Not bad. It's a good deal. I think that's $10 off, right?
I bought it for $50.
Yeah. It's $10 off, so that's cool.
From the same place, but it was like only $10 difference. But yeah. I sort of early adopter for me.
Yeah. All right, I have Tales of Zillia 2, too. I think I bought it for $50. All right, any Twitter questions, Rake?
Yes, there in fact is a Twitter question.
All right.
From our friend at Flabby Sausage.
All right. Oh, boy.
No, that's the other guy. That's Freak 5 Cash. You're
thinking. They're both equally gross, but Freak 5 Cash beats them. They're not both
gross. How dare you? We have good.
No, Flabby Sausage usually asks this legitimate question. It's Freak 5 Cash who wants us to.
Remember, there are no stupid questions.
He wants us to fuck our dead relatives.
Yeah, there are no stupid questions to stupid people.
Anyways, at Flabby Sausage asked, what are some of the favorite unique character classes in video games? It says, i.e., don't say warrior or mage. I love the D3 witch doctor.
I was going to say purple mage.
Yeah.
Is it in your brain?
I'm trying to think of...
can I say the assassin from Diablo 2?
Ooh, there you go. That's a good one. The witch doctor is really
good. I like the necromancer. That was fun.
Hmm.
My army of skeletons doing all my work for me. Hey, he's talking about that. I'm going to be over here chilling. I'm going to take a nap.
You know,
you played the engineer in Team Fortress 2, didn't you?
What about the bard class in like the D&D games? That's a cool class. I dig that because it's kind of like a jack of all trade type thing. You know, I like those type of characters.
I'm gonna say the Jew because you know that was pretty.
Yeah,
awesome.
Yeah, the Jew. That's a good one.
Circumcised, yes.
Yeah.
Yes. My favorite class to play in games is usually Thief. He said warrior mage. I think he meant like all the main types.
Yeah,
though.
I know. I was thinking like, but... don't say a warrior, don't say a mage. So I was like, oh, warrior mage. Yeah.
let's see here. Some of the other ones I really like are usually in strategy games, like the time mages. Anybody who can manipulate time, you haste or stop your opponents. Just that's an easy
like
way
blue,
to victory.
I always like the blue mages in Final Fantasy.
I like the gladiator class in Final Fantasy Advance.
Memory served me correctly, you could play as a paladin in Wizardry Tales of the Forsaken Land. So that's pretty cool.
Goody Two Shoes asshole.
Yeah, but
hey, they're good tanks. They tank everybody.
Let me see another. Because I was writing some down. I was thinking about this earlier. I want to make an Earthbound style.
RPG game and the paladins would be replaced by a masochist.
Yeah. All right, break. What else?
Another great one. I think one of my absolute favorites is the original Final Fantasy, the calculators or Final Fantasy Tactics. I don't know if you know what the calculator is. Basically, it used like math equations to deal damage or give buffs to your characters or the enemies. Basically, you could win matches in one or two moves with those if you did it right.
Hmm. AKA the most broken class in
RPG. Yes, calculator was amazing. You just wiped out
if you
know
how to
everything.
Use him, that is.
Yeah.
Yes. Well, I knew how to use him. I loved wiping everything out with him. and another class I just want to say because I thought it was an awesome name. It's not, you know, not really a different class or anything, but the Gunzerker from Borderlands 2.
Huh.
It's just an awesome name for a class, I think. Gunzerker.
Actually, I don't think calculator is the most broken class. The most broken class is the Vandalier from Vandal Hearts.
Hmm.
That's the special class the main character can become if you go through these trials and collect random items to go through these trials throughout the game.
You know what a cool class...
He basically has access to all the spells in the game, including spells that are normally used by items, like H2O, which heal everybody on the screen a lot.
You know what class of character in the pen and paper Dungeons and Dragons game that I liked a lot was Cavalier. I liked Cavaliers, plain Cavaliers, or Bards, or even like Berserkers or Fighters or whatever. But yeah, Cavalier is a cool one. Paladin is, you're right, Goody Two Shoes. But
Unearthed Arcana, yes, I recall.
Can you be a Dark Paladin though?
Oh yeah, Dark. Yes, you can. Dark Paladins are cool to play too.
Can you be a neutral Paladin?
No.
I will fight firmly in the defense of whatever.
Nothing. Yeah.
Nothing in particular.
I will fight firmly.
I'll heal you guys, but I'm still a jackass.
I will fight firmly in the defense of this rock. All right. Yeah, no. There's no neutral paladin. You got to go
one
way.
What about war clerics?
Those are clue too. Cool too.
Warlicks.
Yep.
Can I get an evil chaotic?
So war clerics.
Damn right.
War clerics in Fire Emblem Awakening fight with axes, but they heal people too.
I've always thought that idea of like a chaotic evil paladin, like, you know, like anti-paladin or whatever, is like
dark paladin.
Given that the whole thing about being a paladin is discipline, I don't think chaotic really works.
No, but you can play one. You can actually play that class character in Dungeons & Dragons.
Yeah,
and
they
you
heal people, but they serve an evil god.
Right. You actually can do that. I mean, it's difficult, but difficult to play.
It's kind of
like Dark Priest.
Like
that.
It's like, but, always, you know, it's one of the easiest ways to tell who the asshole was in your group was to, it's like, what alignment are you going to be? Chaotic neutral. It's like, I'm just going to do whatever the fuck I feel like, and you know, people can just deal with it.
Right.
Like, yeah. Okay.
Right. No question, man. All right. So that's all.
Isn't that how most of the characters in Slayers were?
I don't know.
Chaotic neutral.
All right. What have you been playing, Eric?
Been playing a lot of a game that's still under embargo. Although I guess I could tell you the name of the game. Tiara 2.
Oh, I didn't know you were allowed to even say the name of the game.
Yeah, I just
Toddlers and Tiaras too.
Thinking about embargoes is you're not allowed to talk about the game itself.
Okay, what
can
else
you
talk
about the tatas though?
There are tatas.
We're just talking about this goddamn
on the toddlers. What the
no.
hell is wrong?
Toddlers.
With
toddlers
and tiaras too.
I thought you said tatas and tiaras.
Tiara too.
Yeah, Tiara 2.
Toddlers and Tiaras 2. Yes, we get it.
I get the joke. It's a show.
Right. Yeah. Okay, what else, Eric?
I played a little bit of Phoenix Wright versus Ace Attorney. I mean, Layton versus Ace Attorney.
Okay. And anything else?
A little bit of Smash over the week, last weekend, but other than that, the review's up on GameTactics.com.
Stealth, what have you been playing?
I've been playing a lot of Hearthstone.
Same thing, man. Hearthstone. You're going to become the next break, man. What have you been playing, Stealth?
For every day.
Hearthstone. All right.
So, are you making money gambling in Hearthstone yet?
No.
Yeah, okay.
Break.
I've only been playing two games. Final Fantasy IV, which, you know, I talked about that last week. Something interesting happened to me. I shouldn't say interesting. Something that, like, one of those stupid things that happens when you...
Nothing interesting ever happens to him.
Yeah, well, you overpower your characters, so you go through the bosses. Well, I had my characters really overpowered on the 60s. And right before I got this boss fight, I had another character join, and he's in his 30s. So he just gets killed right away at these boss fight. And after the fight, I spend most of my time reviving him to try and level him up because he's just getting wiped out in every fight. And everybody else is like, come on. Like, one hit and he's out? This is ridiculous.
No, what you do is you form a wall, you weaken the enemy, and then you have him move in.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The other game I've been playing is Borderlands 2 a lot. Now I'm playing a DLC right now. It's kind of weird. I'm playing like a board game, like their own version of D&D in Borderlands.
Huh.
So right now I'm fighting knights with machine guns and rocket launchers.
That's interesting.
Rocket launcher.
Yeah. Because you're playing a game like Right. The host is Tiny Tina, so it's basically whatever she feels like is what's going on in the game. So the game is changing as you play. Like, you go into the Forest of Tranquility, and then somebody else is playing this game and says, well, that's not very scary. No, you're right. And then she changes it into, like, a dark dungeon and shit like that. Which is, it's just kind of, you know, it's Borderlands 2 humor still.
Right. All right.
I need to mention that I got a review of Space Dandy.
A what?
Space Dandy.
Which, the game? Is there a game?
No! It's an anime, you fool.
I know it's an anime. You said there was a review. Well, like, what, do you mean the first season, or what do you mean?
Space Dandy. The series, because the series is over now.
Okay. Space Dandy, like, computer in the 80s.
Yeah.
All right, I've been playing Dragon Quest VIII, of course. I'm getting near to the end. Of course, I had my son in the hospital yesterday, so I couldn't do anything yesterday. He had surgery on Monday, we're in the hospital yesterday, spent the whole fucking day there, so, you know, which is going to be my stinko of the week. Moving on
I
into
hate hospitals, I just hate the whole, everything about being in there.
Yeah, my stinko is taking C1 to the hospital and all the bureaucracy that goes on there.
Yeah, there's a lot of that bullshit.
We called well in advance, and they told us, okay, we're checking him in now. Just make sure you get in when you can. But an hour and a half, right? They gave us an hour and a half because I had to take my daughter to my grandparents and then run over to the hospital and make sure he was all right. So we get there, and they knew we were coming, yet we still had to wait 30, 45 minutes to get in. I just don't understand what the point of calling ahead was. I don't get it. So we're there, and to highlight the bureaucracy of hospitals nowadays, they send in some douchebag that says, in addition to the douchebag that wants to collect money, they send this other douchebag to say that he's, quote, the liaison between the nurses and doctors to make sure everything's going smoothly, and if things aren't, if you're waiting too long, he would help the process, right? All right, that sounds cool. He leaves the room. I look at Wifix, and I'm like, how the fuck are we supposed to get a hold of this guy, right? So about an hour and a half passes, and the guy comes back, and I decide to ask him. He's like, are you guys okay? You need anything? I'm like, no, we're all right. But I do have a question. How do we get a hold of you if we need you? And he says, well, just hit your nurse button. And I'm like, and ask for so-and-so. I'm like, what the fuck kind of sense does that make? If I hit the nurse button, I get the nurse. That's what I need. I don't need you in the middle. Get the fuck out of here. You know what the? So that just kind of highlights the bureaucracy of hospitals nowadays. Like they're hiring people for no fucking reason. And I told Wifix, this guy probably makes as much as you, and she makes a good sum of money. So I don't understand. But anyways, that's my stinko. Break, do you have a stinko?
Yes. My stinko goes to, and I'm sure you've all heard of it by now, the actor Stephen Collins.
I have not heard of this. What's going on here?
Stephen Collins, earlier in the week, there was an audio tape leaked of him talking to his therapist where he admits to molesting little girls.
Oh.
Stephen Collins is an actor.
Oh, the priest guy, yeah.
Yeah, he played a priest on one show, and he played a father on one of my favorite shows, Revolution.
Oh, this guy's an asshole.
Yeah, so he's on tape talking about molesting girls, going back for a long time. And apparently, like, his second wife knew about it, and he molested, like, children related to his first wife and stuff like that. Oof. And but he admits it on audio, like, doing it. I don't understand why this guy's not in jail right now, but that's a different story altogether. This seems like there's a lot of shit like that in Hollywood. It just gets covered up, too, and a lot of times they get away with things that just drive me crazy.
Yeah.
Like Woody Allen, for instance.
Oh, Woody Allen's a piece of work, man. No question.
He should have been in jail a long time ago. Instead, he's out making millions, living in his mansion, still making movies.
Yeah.
Because people like his stuff.
Right.
You know?
He's just, a brilliant filmmaker.
Just like Roman Polanski, because people like his stuff.
Yeah, the difference with Roman Polanski is if he ever comes to the United States, he's going to be in jail. So, you know, that's the major difference.
Yeah, but there have been opportunities where France has said, hey, America, we'll deport him for you. Do you want him? And we just kind of said nothing. Just let it just go by the wayside. So they're like, okay, well, whatever. It's basically people don't want to pursue him because he's a famous celebrity type thing.
Yeah, I don't like the double standard in this country. Like the Adrian Peterson thing bothers me too. Like the coverage that he took that they gave him on ESPN was sickening, man. He's sitting there, and all it is to get a court date. But they did all day live coverage, you know, and it just sucks. All right, Stealth's taking a quick break. Eric, Stinko.
Stinko. I don't think I actually have one.
All right, Mug, you have a Stinko.
I have kind of a Stinko and Sweeto kind of rolled into one. I've been having, I don't know, I think I told you guys last week.
That's
got
what you call a hurt and heal.
a what?
A hurt and heal.
A hurt and heal, okay.
It's like an orgasm when you're leg is bleeding or something. Like your leg just got cut off, but you just had sex, so it's not as bad.
Okay. But anyway, I think I told you guys I got a job offer last week. And so the last, you know, the last week and I, well, last 2 weeks I've been trying to get the onboarding process completed. I had to jump through a ton of hoops. And getting, you know, communication with this staffing agency has not been easy. Like last weekend, like I got this, I got a, this thing from them at like 7 o'clock in the evening asking to, you know, for clarification or some verification documents for one of my employment things. And I was like, okay, who sends something like this at 7 o'clock in the evening on a Friday when I'm, when my projected start date is that Monday?
Yeah.
And so I've had to, you know, I've been kind of running around like a chicken with my head cut off. But, and, you know, and I finally, you know, finally managed to get everything cleared up today. So everything's, you know, it's like, that's kind of the sweet-o part, which is, you know, like it, everything's been finalized and I start Monday.
Well, that's cool. I mean, that leads right into a sweet-o. So that's, yeah, that's really cool. Yeah.
So kind of like I'm kind of like stressed out about it because I've been out of the job. You know, I haven't had a job in 20 months. So it's just, you know, it's a change is stressful. So
yeah, it's, so change is always weird.
Can you tell us about it or hints?
It's what the job. It's just, you know, it's nothing, you know, spectacular. It's just a data analyst position.
Okay.
Not, you know, not great pay, but it's something.
Yeah. Well, that's fine, man. As long as you're making something.
Yeah, there is no great pay anymore.
No, yeah. There really isn't, man. There's no middle class anymore, really.
Yeah.
All right. Eric, let's go with your sweet-o.
Sweet-o. It's about penises.
Yay!
Yay!
Penis. Anyways, this is from I Fucking Love Science.
I'm sorry, guys. I gotta go.
You gotta go?
What? We know what he means.
He has to go play with his penis.
Right.
Anyways, it says laboratory grown penises are ready to be tested in humans.
Yeah.
It says scientists at the Wake Forest Institute for Regenerative Medicine could be offering new hope.
Tried in humans or on
Yes, human testing.
No, but you're saying like testing inside humans?
No.
Presumably, if they're working.
All right, continue on, Eric. Let's finish.
Yeah, let's ignore Brinkman's stupidity.
No, you guys just don't get what I'm saying. No,
I know what you're saying.
No, we get it. It's not time. Funny.
Oh, sometimes it's funny. All right, go ahead.
Yeah, anyways, it says they could be offering new hope to men with genital abnormalities or injuries as in little as 5 years. Thanks to one of their many tissue engineering endeavors, lab-grown penises.
Mm-hmm.
It says, while that may sound like a little far out, these guys are among the world's leaders in regenerative medicine, and they've achieved some remarkable things in the past. Back in 1999, they became the first in the world to successfully implant a lab-grown organ into humans, a bladder. And since then, they've done engineered vaginas, which you've actually also talked about on the show.
Yep.
And let's see. It says here the team leader began this endeavor back in 1992, but it wasn't until 2008 until scientists proved transplanting was theoretically possible. And then they've managed to grow 12 functioning penises for rabbit subjects. So after grafting them onto the recipients, they all tried to mate with a female. 8 successfully ejaculated, and 4 produced offspring. Well, these results are certainly encouraging. Gaining approval for human trials was another kettle of fish. So, yay. Yeah.
So, progress this is – okay. You know what I find
– science works, bitches.
Yeah. You know what I find
– So they put human penises on monkeys? Is that what happened?
No, but I mean, no. Think about it, this could be like a big thing for like cancer sufferers, because cancer of the penis means amputation.
Yes.
Or, you know, those – for vets injured in war. And yeah, that's, you know, it's a big deal.
One of the biggest mysteries in science was how to regenerate limbs, right? So maybe this is
also
the beginning.
You could probably potentially do this for gender transitioning from females to males.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Maybe this is God working through the scientists.
No, maybe this is just science working, you know.
No. You atheists always trying to push God out of the
God's just everywhere, so of course he's working through everything.
All right.
Yeah. God is in your penis right now.
Here's the importance of this.
Sperm is God. Yay.
Here's the importance of...
Let's worship sperm
Eric,
instead.
Chill. Just for a second. Here's the importance of this research, right? All right, it's not about penises, right? I mean, that's the snicker in all of us. Like, we're all going to snicker at penises and vaginas.
It's about biological grafting.
It's about grafting, you know, extensions of our body back onto our bodies. So in the future, hopefully within our lifetimes, if we ever, like you said, had some type of cancer, maybe
the next logical cellular regeneration altogether.
If they could do bladders, who's to say that they can't start regenerating livers for people with cirrhosis?
Wolverine.
Or maybe stomach. You know, people get stomach cancer, so maybe we can regenerate a stomach. Maybe we can, you know...
Regenerate cells so we can just cut out the cancer cells and replace them.
Right. So there's all kinds of practicality with this. This
you know
is
what?
Excellent.
I've always wanted eyes in the back of my head. Can I get that done?
Yeah, why not?
So I can, you know, I want to be able to look behind me at all times.
I mean, you'd look kind of weird with all the hair in the back.
And you know what? Can I get two extra arms, too? Because I can make use of that.
Wouldn't it be better to get a cybernetic brain instead for that?
Well, I think the brain's going to be the hardest of all to regenerate. That's the mystery of everything.
I don't think that that's even remotely feasible.
I think it is feasible.
Well, it's feasible in the sense that we could probably grow a brain, but it wouldn't be the same person.
It wouldn't be the same person. But what if we could regenerate the same cells in the a person's brain? Let's say they get brain cancer, right? And we can regenerate the brain cells in there, you know? And I mean, I know you'd have
to, but at least they'd be alive.
You'd have to relearn a lot of
Second Amendment rights are under attack by the
Jesus Christ.
Could they redo all the damage I've done with alcohol?
Yes.
Hypothetically.
Although
actually that's largely myth.
Gripper says one for each hand. All right, let's move on.
Have to line them up. One on top of the other.
Break. You're sweeto.
I've got two of them. Okay. First goes to the Supreme Court, and it wasn't a ruling, but they're kind of like, go ahead. We don't want to do anything about it right now with gay marriage, basically.
Yeah.
Okay. Instead of kind of ruling on it, but they're not ruling on it allows it to happen in, what was it, 13 states?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I mean, I think four states have essentially just kind of definitively gone ahead. I know here in South Carolina, they're, you know, the attorney general's like, because, you know, he's an asshole.
Because South Carolina. And it's the opposite here in Colorado. Here in Colorado, it's like issue licenses. There should be no issue with it. Yeah. All right.
So that one, and my second sweeter goes to this. I was sitting on the couch earlier playing some Borderlands. All of a sudden, I heard some popping noise. I'm like, what the fuck?
Oh, like, it's coming from my TV.
So, no, it's coming from the television. So I'm like, okay. I guess I better get up and check it. And before I was able to even get up and get over to it, like, just the Xbox goes off and I start smelling smoke. The power box went bad on it. But my sweeto goes to, I have enough broken 360s that I could just replace it easily.
There you go. That's what you call damning with faint praise there.
Yes, at least they've finally come and given me some use.
That's funny. Stealth, are you back? I don't think Stealth's back.
No Stealth.
I'm here.
You are. What's your sweeto?
Wait, he didn't do a stinko.
Well, hold on.
I really didn't have one. It was a pretty uneventful week.
All right. Well, I guess your vacation's your sweeto, right?
Yeah.
All right.
It was well deserved. All the vacations.
Yeah, right. Mine was my son got better. He was severely dehydrated, man. People think of tonsil surgery and they think it's just this small surgery that takes a day and you're back on your feet, you know. It's like, and it's not that way. My son was in a lot of pain. You know, couldn't swallow stuff. He couldn't even get his medication down. So he was severely dehydrated, but you know, science works, and, you know, putting IVs and medications, and he's doing completely better than he was yesterday, man. It was really scary, like, severely. I mean, I'd never seen a person that dehydrated, man. But, all right, let's move on. Wait, Moria. Yeah, you did your Suido already.
Yeah, I didn't say what I've been playing, though.
What have you been playing, sir?
Actually, the a tiny bit of Memories of Celceta, but the thing I played the most of this week is Dust and Elysian Tale on the PS4, because it was it's one of the free games with PlayStation Plus this month. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. It's actually a pretty good game. It's the really good voice acting, if you don't mind the anthropomorphic animals. But it's a nice little kind of it kind of reminds me a little bit of the Oboro Muramasa, the Muramasa games. Yeah. Muramasa. Kind of like that. There's not as much depth to the combat, but it is, it's very similar in its art style, like, or at least in its approach to how, the art style itself is different, but it's the same kind of thing where it's the, specially animated 2D art on a multi-plane 2D background kind of thing. Mm-hmm. And it's pretty fun. Yeah, PS Plus, getting it for free.
I like Breakman's naming of that game, Celceta. He says, Memories of Calcutta.
Memories of Calcutta, yes, yeah. That's exactly what it is. Now it's a soft C.
That's awesome. All right, let's move on here. Eric, you have a review of Space Dandy the Anime.
Space Dandy is the latest anime that I know of, that Shinichiro Watanabe has done, and his other works include Cowboy Bebop and Samurai Champloo. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if you watch either of those.
I watched.
I never saw the end of Samurai Champloo.
Yeah, I never saw the end of that either, but I watched the beginning, and I definitely love, what was the other one you said?
Bebop.
Yeah, Bebop, Cowboy Bebop.
I definitely love that. What was it again?
Hate you. I hate you, Brave Man. So much. My anyways, memory sucks so bad.
Like the show suggests, it's about a guy named Dandy.
He's a dandy guy
in space. Yeah. Anyways, he's an alien hunter, and I guess what they do is they bounty hunt rare aliens that are unregistered. I guess there's the organization somewhere that has like a log of all living creatures in space, and they add to this catalog, and I guess they pay people for it. And Danny's one of those guys, but he's like a nice guy, but he's like mostly an idiot and a lazy bum.
But in some episodes, he's like really competent at things, you know?
Yeah.
It's really weird. Like, he's mostly an idiot, but then sometimes, like, in the episode where they raced, or where he was racing, like, he turned out to be a really good, like, pilot.
He's like a Chief Clouseau if he had some intelligence, but he was still clumsy as heck and didn't know what was going on most of the time.
Right. That's a good analogy. I like that.
But, a lot of the earlier episodes usually ended with him supposedly dying or dying altogether.
The first episode ended with him destroying everyone.
Yeah, and not to avoid spoilers, but there's a reason for that. But it's pretty an easy explanation, but it's something that I'd rather have people have revealed to themselves than having me explain and missing the whole point of watching the show entirely. Because the show is funny, but there are a lot of occasionally, like during season one, you'd have some weird episodes, but towards the end of season two. Well, it was called Space Dandy 2 in Japan for some reason, but even though it's the second half of the series. But it got a little esoteric towards the end. But
if they can get away with new 3DS, they can get away with Space Dandy 2.
Anyways, I didn't mind the esoteric episodes, but it was odd for the show that was mainly about comedy. But he has a part. He has like two partners. Like, one of them's like a cat creature that he named Meow, even though he has a name, but he's like, I don't care, I'm calling you Meow. The other one's QT, the robot sidekick that sounds a lot like Milk Chan from the English dub of Milk Chan.
What?
And she talks it talks entirely in auto-tuned voice.
You said it was esoteric in which way, Eric? Like, who is it pandering to? Like, what?
Like, there was one episode where he ended up on a planet where supposedly it's a planet of the dead, and he like supposedly he died, and he's stuck in like limbo of some kind, and he doesn't they had to make him realize he was dead, and like I guess the planet was about to undergo a rebirth of some kind, but so it was just like one of these weird introspective episodes.
I get it. All right. Continue on.
There was an episode that featured zombies.
Cool.
I had watched the entire series, but I missed two episodes, so I went back and watched that one, and I thought it was fitting because it's October and Halloween. And basically it was a tribute to George Romero, which I have to say the Romero's zombies movies are, but oh well.
Well, you would be definitely wrong, man.
Romero is a genius.
Heard a lot of people bitch about his movies, though.
So they can bitch all they want.
Those people are wrong, too.
They're wrong. They're definitely wrong.
Diary of the Dead was awful.
Well, okay, we're talking
about Everybody Fails Now and Again.
Right.
Maybe his later movies. I don't know.
Later movies suck. The first three were...
Look, even James Cameron released Titanic. Everybody fails now.
James Cameron released Avatar.
Right. And Avatar, too, Avatar. Man. Oh, gosh.
Avatar was a... It was a solid movie. It just wasn't an especially... an inspired movie. Let's put it that way.
Just watch everything... Everything wrong with Avatar on Twitter.
The worst thing about Avatar YouTube. Is the name of the substance they were looking for. Unobtainium, really? Yeah.
Actually, I had that problem too. It actually is a real term.
It is
kind of a colloquial slang term for any substance that's extremely difficult to come by.
Unobtainium, that's so dumb.
It's like, why isn't it a proper name though? It's like,
The thing is, I could have gone with that if they had just tossed in, one line that said, This stuff's got a name as long as your arm. Some smart-ass guy in the
some
lab.
Some swarmy guy,
decided to call it unobtainium, and so it stuck. There you go.
Yeah. All right. Continue on. What are you giving this anime, man?
I give it a 9.
Ooh, wow. That good, man. Sweet.
I think you can get the Blu-ray DVD set now. But
out of 100.
I don't know if it's just for season one or if it's season one and two. It's probably split into two between the two seasons.
Right. I give this game this series a 69.
I like that.
Dead or Alive Extreme 2.
Anyways, right. Funimation is the publisher or distributor, and if you're not sure you want to watch it, you can watch the subtitled episodes on Hulu or Funimation's own streaming service.
All right. Let's move on here, guys. This is a free-for-all topic. There's all kinds of links here. I took a gander at all of them, but I kind of get the overall arc that Eric's going for here. Free-for-all, Eric, what are we talking about? Publisher lies, cowardice, and hubris.
And just basic hubris.
Okay, so what's going on here? You've got a set of four kind of themed articles from different places. What are you talking about here, Eric?
Well, in this first article, it's about how Capcom says they won't work on AAA sequel unless the previous game sold over 2 million units. So I guess that means if Resident Evil Revelations 2 doesn't sell those numbers, they won't do it again.
Revelations.
Hey, honestly, I don't think that would be a bad thing. I honestly think it's well past time to put Resident Evil out to pasture.
I would agree with that, but I think if you take stance,
that's not the point. Though the point is Capcom's too. I think it's too ambitious and it's asking.
Well,
for too
it's.
Much.
Yeah. It's awfully unilateral for a company that's not doing that well.
Yeah. I think
I think Capcom's just killing themselves with this idea of theirs.
Yep, I agree. I don't think you should not every IP, like if you're talking about an established
and this is basically just them holding up any game now that's in a series ransom.
I think
it's going to say
buy this game or you don't get more.
Yeah, does that mean that Devil May Cry is dead?
Right.
Because I know DMC didn't do that. No. Well.
Yeah, no, but this is before they said that, so.
Mm. Yeah, I just think that...
So anything after this point is what they mean.
This may work okay with established franchises like Resident Evil, because you can almost bank on that that franchise getting those type of numbers, right? Same thing with Final mm-hmm. Fantasy and a few others. But when you start saying every game like that...
At least they're not Square and they don't expect their entire library to sell over 2 million.
Well, that's what I'm saying, man. Like, if they expect, like, a new IP to get that much, I mean, come on, man. I mean, that's...
Yeah. And then you... I don't know if you saw that thing from... what's it? Yoshinori Ono, who was in charge of the Street Fighter and the Vampire and stuff like that, talking about how the... the idea, he wanted to do another Darkstalkers game, but that's never going to happen.
You need to sell 4 million first.
Mm. Yeah, well, that's the thing. It's like, it was not, what held me back from getting it? Hmm. It's money I don't really need to be spending right now. If it had been, I don't know if you ever saw Vampire Chronicle, the kind of port, it was originally on the Sega Dreamcast, but they also... basically ported it to the PSP when they did the Chaos Tower, but it's essentially a combination of all three, of all three of the core games, where you can select the entire roster and choose different versions of the characters. You can play the character as they originally played in the original Darkstalkers, or in Vampire Hunter, which was Night Warriors, and Vampire Savior, which is Darkstalkers 3.
And apparently Darkstalkers 3 is based on the PlayStation version, or not based on the PlayStation version, which means it doesn't have the extra characters.
Yeah, and it's like that combination of everything, I was like, that was really good. I like being able to have that much flexibility, because in the other games, you can't play, say Donovan versus Jetta. Just if you play the games, what characters I'm talking about. But and it's like, but if they had done that, I would have made a point of getting it. But it's like, I've already got I've already got the games individually. I want this other version that I don't have anymore.
They need to make the problem with Resurrection wasn't that it was a compilation of the two games, but the fact it kind of. With its title, it kind of implies that it's like a dream match game, but it's not.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, to get back to our point here about 2 million units, I think that's a cowardice thing there. I don't appreciate that at all. I mean, these people, when they first got into this industry, it was all about the video games, right? Mm-hmm. But when they get to a point where they get high on their horse... It's
not like Capcom has a whole lot of AAA games left in their stable. Anyway.
Right. What do they got?
I don't think, at least with the Darkstalkers thing, I don't think, Ono was responsible for that. It was just like, since this game sold poorly, there's no way I'm going to get funding to, no one's going to allocate resources to a series that the higher ups don't think is going to sell.
Yeah. Well, then they should really take an introspective on themselves and understand they're in it for the games. Once they do that, the sales will come, right? If you take the developer the developers of the Resident Evil series, you got to give them credit. At least they're trying new and different things with that series. Sometimes they get to a point where, fuck it. It's like Madden. And everybody buys Madden, right? And the developers just took time off on that series. They don't add the things that people want because they know people are just going to buy it, right?
No matter what. Resident Evil 6 added too many games.
I heard it's decent too, Break. But the stuff that people really want in those games, they never add.
Did anybody see the pictures of the NBA 2K game for 2015?
Hmm.
The face graft feature.
No.
All the faces got fucked up because the recognition software fucked up.
Yeah, no.
You didn't look at that?
No, dude, come on. okay, what do we got next here, Eric? There's a series of articles here.
And the next one's how the U.S. military can learn from game marketing, says ex-Call of Duty director. Basically,
what?
It says when it comes to – well, I'm going to read the little blurb here. It says when it comes to introducing unpalatable ideas to the American public, the U.S. government could learn a thing or two from marketing strategies of AAA games.
Okay.
It says that's what former Call of Duty director Dave Anthony told a think tank forum in Washington this weekend. And basically his quote down here says, when we have a new product that has elements that we're not sure how people will respond to, what can we do as a corporation, he asked, referring to his time as a writer. And he says, we market it as much as we can so that whether people like it or not, we can do all the things we can to essentially brainwash people into liking it before it actually comes out.
Yeah, this
that
is...
That sounds creepy as hell.
It is creepy. It's fucked up, but you know what?
Let's give the U.S. government the ability to actually be competent and in control of its populace.
I think what he said is fucked up, but he's absolutely correct. Like, you can't go anywhere without seeing something Call of Duty, right? I mean, it's everywhere. TV, commercials, magazines, even non-gaming magazines.
My brain is strong with this one.
Yeah, so he's on to something, but he should have been a little more tactful about it. There are people out there, like myself and you guys, that have a brain in their head that can understand what the hell's going on. And, you know, eventually people will wise up to that fact and not buy his games just for that very
also
reason.
Also, they can use this to sell unpopular ideas, like a politician wanting to do a certain thing.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, so what's next on the list here, Eric?
Next is Shadiness of Mordor. It's a video that Jim Sterling did about how Warner Brothers Games basically was trying to buy off good reviews for YouTubers who are trying to do videos of Shadows of Mordor or Shadow of Mordor. But somebody like Total Biscuit he apparently had a hard time getting code and he eventually ended up getting content ID'd by them, which is hilarious. But it's like, you want me to promote your game, but you want me to – so the whole clusterfuck about this is basically they were allowing people to do this, but they had to do it on their terms and in ways that would be favorable to them, basically.
I hate that.
But if the game's good, you don't need to do that.
Right.
It's like you have no confidence in your product despite the fact that you had a team that worked on it so hard and probably give you all the reassurance you would ever need and you decide to do this anyway.
Right. Dungeon Buster said it's sad about the WB scandal around Shadow of Mordor. From what I'm gathering from what I consider reliable sources, that game is actually pretty good, you know?
Yeah, I've heard a lot of good stuff about it.
Yeah, shame on you, Warner Brothers. I mean, seriously, like, that's one thing about this show. It's one thing about my other show.
That's the list of the shitty things I did, like all the Batman Arkham Origins stuff, despite the fact that Arkham Origins is already garbage.
Yeah. But yeah.
It's not that bad.
It's pretty bad, man. It's not a great game.
It's not fun.
I didn't have any problems with it. I mean, the thing is,
the combat is broken, so broken that the only way to fix the combat is to go into shot gloves mode because bat combat's a gigantic clusterfuck.
Yeah, yeah. The
pacing was a little different from the previous games, but
the boss fight with Deathstrike was just retarded.
Here's the thing.
Deathstroke, yeah. Deathstrike's another character.
Here's the point I'm trying to make, okay? People can say what they want about me personally, but one thing that I don't compromise is my integrity, no matter what, right? I say rude, crude, lewd things on this show. I've said them on DMT. I've said them on Wherewithal. But I've never lost my integrity. We on DMT, for instance, Deadman Talking, my other show, shameless plug. Yes, I know.
Dimethyltryptamine.
Right. Exactly. Dimethyltryptamine. That's exactly what that means.
Dimethyltryptamine.
Right. Here's the thing.
Why doesn't Deathstroke have a series yet?
Here's a
bad guy.
Why not give a bad guy a show?
Here's a word about my integrity. Okay. On Dead Men Talking, we had the opportunity, if you can call it that, to get an advanced screening of a movie called Pro Wrestlers versus Zombies, right? Which on the surface, everybody's laughing like, how good could that movie be?
I could make an awesome movie out of that. Fuck those people.
Right. It could have been awesome, right? That's the whole point. It could have been so bad it was good, right? Like in the vein of a lot of trauma movies, like Romeo and Juliet and Toxic Avenger and
right,
you know, whatever.
Right, and we've talked about that.
Right, before. But so, okay. The point was, it was probably the worst movie I've ever seen, right? So I get together with my mates on DMT and I'm like, look, guys, this movie's horrible. It's terrible. But I'm going to say what's on my mind. I'm not going to, lose integrity just to say this guy is the greatest director, you know, when we have him on, when he's not. I'm not going to do that. So they wanted to not do the review at all because they kind of felt the same way. And I'm like, no fucking way. That's a lack of integrity. If we just cowardice and don't say what's on our mind, we're never going to get the truth out about this pile of shit, right? And we can talk to the director about it. I'm not afraid of anybody. I'm not afraid of any director, actor, producer. I mean, we had Cameron Bartoloa on the show talking about that movie. And at the time, we hadn't seen it. So, of course, we were, you know, really nice about it. But because we were excited, you know, some of us were wrestling fans and wanted to see it. It turned out to be a big pile of shit, and I called it as it was on the next show. We didn't have the director on because of scheduling conflicts, but I would have had no issues telling him that it was probably the worst movie I've ever seen, right? So when you do things like this, when you buy positive press for shit, then you have no integrity. So Warner Brothers Games, fuck you, right? I mean, there's always three sides to every story, so I'd like to see their point of view on it.
I'm at the point where I'm just going to say, fuck AAA games. If I'm going to play you, I'm going to buy you used because I don't want to support your shitty policies.
See, that's one way of
actually,
doing it.
Speaking of that, you know, that flap about, excuse me, Assassin's Creed?
No.
No, about Assassin's Creed Unity and the whole
we're going to talk about that next.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Their parody thing.
Yeah. So, they're making bullshit excuses as to why their game's like not a certain resolution.
Yeah. Well, the thing is if you look at what BioWare on Dragon Age Inquisition, like PS4 version's going to be 1080p. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Xbox 360 version or Xbox One rather is going to be either 720 or 900. You know, it's like that's the best we could do on the Xbox One. It's like okay, it sucks that the other console is not as powerful or at least that these programmers can't wring quite as much out of it. Mm. But, I think it's stupid to not make the most out of the hardware you're working on.
Yeah, I agree. All right.
When it comes to consoles, if they're trying to do parity, at least don't half-ass the PC ports and then you can make it run up the spec along with the console versions because apparently Assassin's Creed 4 suffered from optimization issues, and the game doesn't run well unless you have a particularly powerful PC.
And, okay, let's...
Ubisoft is... recent hold Ubisoft on. Games have been like that on PC.
Okay, hold on a second.
I'm glad to understand.
Right, did you want to say
that's
something?
That's not to mention all the bullshit in the older games where you had to deal with crappy DRM like right. Star Force.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. Break. Did you want to say something?
None of the games out for the current consoles are optimized to the systems. It takes a while for developers to learn the
technology.
We're
talking about PC optimization.
Right. But here's the thing. We're going to get into this.
I'm going to take a nap.
The next article.
but the next article is about Assassin's Creed Unity, but for entirely different reason.
Yeah. This is. I find this quite appalling. Right.
And I'm going to add to that too.
Here's okay. The comments are more interesting than the content of this article. But it's the headline is Ubisoft says that the Wii U can't handle Assassin's Creed Unity. But what's the point of that? And I agree with that.
The point of this is that this game was never going to be a last gen console game or I consider the Wii U current gen console because it came out first. And it's part of the eighth generation of consoles.
Yeah, it is.
It's demonstrably not as powerful.
Yeah, it's using mostly last gen specs.
Yeah, well, the thing is, I mean, Ubisoft and EA and basically everybody said that, after that first wave of games came out on the Wii U, and all the mature rated ones went,
Damon here with IGN News.
Ubisoft. Jesus Christ, man. Fuck you.
Anyways, my point is.
No, well, I was gonna finish saying though. Okay. after all those M-rated games just kind of tanked, or at least just sold way under, you know, below expectations.
Jesus,
would you
Christ.
Stop that?
No, it's fucking, it's goddamn ads, man.
Roll over.
Seriously, can't you surf porn later?
Oh, no, man. Yeah, yeah exactly. It's just, we don't need to hear it. Not right now, anyway. Anyway, but no, like, but after all these games just kind of, you know, tanked, then most of these publishers said, you know, we're just not going to bother with, you know, with mature games on the Wii U anymore.
By the way, I think they were dishonest about their numbers. I don't think they were completely honest about the numbers.
Also, it doesn't help when the Wii U versions of the games you put out had content cut out because
yep. Exactly
because
right.
Because of whatever reason you decided to give at the time, and plus the fact that they were shoddy ports.
Yep.
Yeah, yeah. Well,
so
I remember,
you
like,
shouldn't be surprised when you got the numbers you did.
Right.
Yeah, like Mass Effect 3, Darkstalkers 2, and what was the other one I was thinking of? Another like big name port that just Batman Arkham City, I think it was mm-hmm. that was just like
no, Arkham City and I suppose Arkham Origins as well, but
well no, I thought like which one was the one that got Armored Edition because it wasn't that City.
Yeah, that was City.
Yeah, like I heard that you know, all three of those had some major issues.
Here's the problem, I think,
the issue in the Arkham City Armor Edition was that you had to use the touchscreen a lot, and it didn't work that well.
Right. Yes. I'm pretty sure, all right? And you guys can maybe correct me if I'm wrong, but I think that the Wii U could handle any game that's come out to this point. Like anything that's on the PS for an Xbox One because of
they
what...
They just have to scale it down.
Right. I don't think so.
Because
I,
of
I,
what Breakman said.
But no,
right?
But my point about this being the fact that they weren't even intending to make last-gen versions of this game, which is why they did Rogue, which But the fact that they had specifically mentioned how the Wii U couldn't handle it was... It's kind of like putting salt on Nintendo's wounds or something.
Yeah.
Well, the thing is, it's like, you know, you say like, this, oh, this, like, any, you know, the Wii U could do this. It's like, I look at something like Infamous Second Son and I think, no, it couldn't.
I'm pretty sure it could. I think, you know what I think it boils down to? I think it boils down to Ubisoft and a lot of these companies being too lazy to work with what they got, right? They don't want to think about how to make it work for this system.
I think it's less too lazy and more we don't want to spend the money.
And that too.
Yeah,
is,
I'd say it's more financial reasons because a lot of PC ports don't sell as well.
But the problem is that they give bullshit excuses for not wanting.
And bullshit excuses, right? Just come out.
I wish more companies were just honest.
Yep.
I mean, fuck.
There you go.
If I'm not mistaken,
we're sorry. We just don't think we're going to sell that many copies. Okay, we understand then.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, if you think about it, like with the Wii U, I mean, it's proprietary custom hardware. It's not using like off the shelf parts like the PS4 and the One R, is it?
Well, that is laziness because they don't want to learn the hardware.
Yeah, that's
It's not just that though. The thing is, you also think if it's not using similar architecture, you have to have a completely separate development pipeline. That's not just laziness. That's simple.
It's, again, cost. It comes down to money.
Yeah, I mean, it's like
99% of the time.
Yeah, because I mean, it's expensive to have a separate development pipeline, especially for a version that you don't have any faith is going to sell to make up
for
the money.
How expensive is it? They got the same assets. All they got to do is look at
the programming is completely different.
Yeah, they're different infrastructures for PCs and such. It's not like a console where it's everything is the same. You know, everybody has a PS4. Okay, here, this is easy.
By the way, when is Assassin's Creed Rogues coming out?
I have no idea.
Next year?
I have no idea. Dungeon Buster says he remembers Arkham Origins bugs being so bad Warner Brothers had to issue an apology. They should issue another apology.
Whose buns are you talking about?
I know.
My
buns.
This is a Batman game.
Bat buns.
Arkham
Bat
Origins
buns.
That's the name of this episode, Bat Buns, man.
Anyways, I wanted to add to that too about Ubisoft's other bullshit excuses for things it did, like the fact that Unity still doesn't have playable female characters.
Yeah, okay.
I've actually kind of reached the point where I've ever since the Ezio trilogy ended, like with Assassin's Creed 3 was, you know, pretty much balls, and it's like AC4 was a step up, but it wasn't all that much better. It still didn't feel all that, you know, it's like, I just kind of feel like I'm painting by numbers, you know.
Pirates, yay.
Yeah, I mean, but the thing is, like, you know, all this stuff was neat, you know, like you're sailing on the open seas and it looked neat and you could do all this crazy stuff and board ships, but all that stuff got really repetitive really quickly. And, you know,
that,
like,
you could say that about most games, though.
Like, but I mean, like, my favorite thing about Assassin's Creed 4 was the sea shanties. Like, those, you know, those were fun to find and listen to and everything. I was like, you know, they kind of added a little bit of something to look forward to when you were sailing.
Better than collecting feathers.
Yeah. But although I did that, collected every goddamn one of them. But, I looked at all the stuff for Unity and I'm just thinking, you know what? I think I'm gonna wait on on bargain basement stuff for this.
And like I was saying with the women thing, they eventually tried to respond to fans' complaints about that by planning to include it with the season pass DLC that lets you play a game where you do play as a female in China, but it's a 2D 2.5D game.
So.
It's like, yeah, why 2.5D? Why didn't you do more than this?
Well, it probably boils down.
Weird, though, why didn't you address the actual problem people were complaining about in the first place, you know?
Yeah. Well, that's the strange thing. I'm like, you have, you know, HD, like, you had, like, from Assassin's Creed Liberation, and you had a female character, you know, you could have used, and, you know, you could have, you know,
reuse some of that code.
Yeah, reuse some of those animation cycles, tweak them to suit whatever character you're working with. It's like, I've seen animation pipelines at work. It's not that hard.
Hmm.
You know,
well,
I mean, it's like if you can add some walk and run cycles for these characters.
If you were a conspiracy theory nutcase, I bet you could buy into the fact that they're all misogynistic assholes and they're just doubling down on their misogyny. Because people wanting to be progressive.
Right. Look, I'm no fan of Ubisoft. I think they're a bunch of assholes, actually. I think they've gotten too big for their britches. I've followed Ubisoft for a long time.
I want Michael Ancel to leave the company, but he's not going to leave until after he makes Beyond Good and Evil 2, and he's actually going to make Beyond Good and Evil 2. It's just
The last thing that Ubisoft did that it was just like, wow, this is awesome. They, you know, like this was exactly what it looked like it was going to be, and it was everything I hoped it was going to be, and that was Far Cry 3 Blood Dragon.
Can I just say the people I met from Ubisoft? Really,
I'm just
going
to say Far Cry 4 is
they're good people.
Who did you meet?
It was a long time ago.
Far Cry 4 just sounds like...
I didn't meet, like, the boss or anything.
Sounds like it's not pushing anything. It's just another iterative sequel.
Eric, hang on a second. Did you meet any of the executives?
No, not executives.
Okay,
no.
That's what we're talking about here. When I say Ubisoft, I mean executives.
I know. I'm just saying.
I know. I have to make that distinction because there are good people that work in those companies. There are good people work in all companies. You know, it's just you get up to the executive level.
I like the team that made Rayman Legends, which made all Valiant Hearts, which was another very good game. It's like, why isn't Ubisoft making more of those type of games?
Yeah. Well,
I hope you didn't mean Rayman.
Yeah, I did mean Rayman.
Raymond.
Everybody loves Rayman.
I'm here to put my knowledge to work for you.
Everybody loves Rayman. Anyways.
Yeah.
Here's the thing. Like, when you get into the executive level of certain publishers like Ubisoft and Blizzard, you're going to deal with fucking bureaucratic son of a bitches, right? We were talking about bureaucracy earlier. I mean, it's the same thing there. This 2 million bullshit, it's absolute fucking horseshit. Unless it's for a big franchise, right? Like Resident Evil, I don't think he was totally out of line saying that for Resident Evil. But if you're talking about a new IP, fuck you. If you expect a new IP to come out guns blazing like Destiny every single time, fuck off.
Well, that's
its budget was $500 million, and that's more than, like, the GDP of this country.
Right. So, come on, man. It's ridiculous. I think you brought up some very good stuff, and stuff that we can't answer within this podcast, Eric. Those are three very good, valid, you know, three, four good points on the state of games today. Like, there's going to be a turning point at some point where people say enough is enough. I'm not buying into the bullshit. You know, it's just too much. And that's how I see fit. When I look at the credits of some of these AAA games, right?
Oh, yeah, like eight to 10 minutes of all the Ubisoft ones
include the entire credits of every single Ubisoft team
right.
for your game, even it's if ridiculous. It's not in your region.
Oh, right. I so hate it when they won't let you skip them too.
Right. Hey, here's the
10
thing.
Minutes of fucking credits and you can't skip it. You just have to sit there while right. it scrolls.
And why you have to sit there because you don't know if there's something that happens after that.
Why should the president of a company get his fucking name at the end of those credits too? He had zero to do with the production of that fucking game. It's like when you go to a movie and you see the credits and they're, you know, thanking this and that and the other. Okay, that's cool. But then you start seeing like
yeah, I see. Well, executive producers, they're always in. They're
the producers
in
the because they pay for the game, right? And the same thing with movies.
Is always in the end of a Nintendo. Yeah.
But you don't see you don't see them thanking the president of Paramount for all these movies that come out. Like, there's no, you know what I mean? Why should
well,
I see?
Well, the thing is, with executive producers, they don't pay for it; they secure funding. There is a difference.
Right? No. I understand.
I would just like to thank President Obama for this podcast.
yeah, exactly.
Thanks, Obama.
Thanks, Obama. Yeah. There you go. All right. I think that's going to do it for today's show. I know we're ending a tad early, but who cares? Just a reminder to everybody that's listening. Next week we're not going to have a show. It's my 15-year anniversary with my wife. So I'll be doing fun stuff with her instead of doing fun stuff here.
So enthusiastic.
Oh, it's going to be fun, man. Trust me. Anything's going to be funner than did I say that out loud?
Funner. No, you said funner, which is a bad form.
I know. I'm just fucking with everybody. So next week, no show, but I will produce, Eric and I at least will be on the interview with Bill from Zboid Games. You know, look forward to that in place of a normal RP Grinders next week. If you guys have any questions, if you have any questions for Bill from Zboid Games, he was on the team that did Cthulhu Saves the World. What was the other
Breath
one?
Of Death 7.
Breath of Death 7.
I want to know how come nobody has copied that feature from Breath of Death 7 where you can kill all the monsters in a certain area.
I don't know. That's a great point.
How come that has not been borrowed?
Actually, it has been done in the game before that game.
Can you?
That's
can
bullshit. I mean, what?
Let's see. The games that let you clear a field of monsters, not permanently, but temporarily, is the Altair Iris Saints.
No, yeah, of course it's that damn game. That game is damn foreign in my side.
Altair is an acceptable pronunciation, but it's not the correct one.
Well, it's a French word.
Whatever.
That's actually the American pronunciation.
Okay, guys. So the point is,
the American pronunciation will be Atelier.
No, the American pronunciation is Atelier, and it's supposed to be Altair.
Thanks to Dungeon Buster and Gripper and chat for the well wishes 15 years. That's really cool. But the point is, instead of a normal show next week, we're going to have the interview with Bill from Zboid Games. If you have any questions, please send them to @FrankBranches or @EricRPG, and we will be most certain to ask them of Bill. I know he's got another great game coming up. What's the name of that? It's like Space Heroine?
Cosmic Star Heroine.
Cosmic Star Heroine.
It's basically their take on Phantasy Star.
Yeah, which is great. So,
but it's supposed to play more like Chrono Trigger and Suikoden.
Yeah.
So does it come with needles, or do you have to buy them separately?
What's this about you and needles, man?
You said it's Space Star Heroine?
No, heroin isn't like a female.
Oh, my bad. Never mind.
That's black tar heroin, yes.
Right. Okay. So with that, plugs, guys. Mug, go first.
You can reach me on on Twitter at Moria Mug, MORIYAMUG.
Okay. Eric, your plug, sir.
Plugs, Game Tactics until IGN.com, which hopefully there'll be a review for it sometime. Well, hopefully on Tuesday, if not Monday. It's a long game, and I'm not so sure I'll get it done by then. But I'll have it done quickly afterwards, if not before. But you should expect that review next week, though, for Tears to Tiara 2, Heir to the Overlord.
Okay. Anything else, Eric?
At EricRPG for my Twitter account. And then there's my YouTube channel, which I haven't done a video for yet since the last one because of said game.
All right. Anything else?
That's Funny T-Man, by the way.
Okay. Nothing else?
No, that's it. Oh, yeah, okay. My Extra Life page. I'll be sure to include it in the summary. But go to extralife.org, and I'm going to put it in the chat again. But just give me a minute. But that's all I have to say.
Okay. Break.
At RP Grinders and at Break_Man on Twitter. And I'd like to plug the first episode of The Flash. That was really good. Good start.
Yeah, I didn't see it, but I saw the previews of it. It looked really great. So, plugs. Make sure to listen to Dead Men Talking. Follow at Share the Wear. I'm sorry, I'm dealing with my daughter here. Share the Wear, that's my show about werewolves with at Real Wiffix. It's a fun little show. So if you like werewolves and horror, that show's going to be... And comedy, we're fucking nuts on that show. So make sure you listen to it and tell me what you think. And that's about it. Anything else, guys?
You forgot to ask Stealth.
Stealth's not here. He
I want to plug at Stealth and then the __.
I bet he wants to do more than just plug his stuff. He wants to plug Stealth.
Right. He wants more to plug Stealth.
With one of those penises that you made.
All right. Stay safe.
Hey, Frank, yes. Are you doing GDP?
GDP is on for tonight. So if you want to request a song, come on over.
Is it themed?
No theme. So you request anything you want. It's going to be really fun. Whippix is going to join me tonight, as always. So that's about it. Anything else, gents?
Fart noises.
Fart noises. Have a great, safe weekend. Yeah. Have a great, safe weekend.
We all became South Park.
Yeah. Have a great, safe weekend. We want to see you all here next week. We're out.